In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in this gospel reading this morning, Jesus is about to enter into Jerusalem. He has left his home base in Capernaum of Galilee, and he's just now going through Jericho, where he meets the blind man. And next week, he will meet Zacchaeus in Jericho. But Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he has told his disciples three times that he must go to Jerusalem, and there he will suffer abuse from the leaders of God's people, the Jews, and he will suffer and die on the cross, and the third day rise again. The disciples are very, very slow to understand this. And at different points, they challenge Jesus and say, this really can't be. So the disciples are with Jesus. They're following him, even though they don't understand completely what's happening. And they may chafe at the idea of suffering and death, especially for the one upon whom they have set all their hope for the coming kingdom of God. We are looking at Jesus, the one who has said he's the light of the world. And it's interesting that the church, when it looks at this passage of scripture in the blind man, really wants us to read this as a parable of our own blindness and the blindness of the human race. Until Christ, the light of the world, illumines our minds and our hearts, we will not see or understand. The disciples were not yet seen. So it's almost like we have here the disciples, the ones who are closest to Jesus, don't see. And at the end of this story, the one who sees is the blind man. He is the one who makes the beautiful confession that Jesus is the Son of David. And he begs for Christ's mercy. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the one who gives us light. He had to bring light into the eyes of the blind man so he could see. What happened to the Apostle Paul when he was on his way to Damascus and was furious in his persecution to the Church of Christ? What happened to him? Light came upon him. Light, the light of Christ. It was so intense that it brought him blindness. The one who thought he could see, he was trained under Gamaliel. And he knew that this movement called Christianity had to be stopped. He thought he could see very clearly. Christ and the light of the world came and shone brightly on him and caused him to be blind. And it wasn't until Ananias came and prayed over him that the scales fell from his eyes and the Apostle Paul could see. The light of Christ's love brings life, but sometimes that light is going to cause us pain. And that was true in the case of the Apostle Paul. But Christ's light always has as its final goal to bring us life. The light of Christ brings us life. It's interesting that in the epistle reading this morning that the church had us read, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to Timothy, his son in the faith. And in that letter, he warns Timothy against the false teachers in the church. And then right away, he has this little parenthesis, and he says, "Timothy, my son, the saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." The Apostle Paul, first of all, wants us all to realize that all of us are in darkness. The great light and hope of the world in Jesus comes to a dark world, a world in which all of us need the light of Christ. The Apostle Paul calls himself the chief of sinners. Then he says, "But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost," it's like the Apostle Paul is saying, if God could have mercy on me, no one should go without hope. "Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience for an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life." And then he says, "To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, honor and glory unto ages of ages. Amen." Paul, in these few verses, says words of thanksgiving. Then he gives this testimony of himself as a sinner. And he ends with glory to God, to the King of the ages. The gospel story this morning is much like that. The Savior is going by. He's on his way to Calvary. And as I was preparing for this, I thought, you know, Jesus, just the very thought of the suffering that he would undergo on Calvary's cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweat, as it were, drops of blood. Can you imagine what it was like? He had said three times to his disciples, twice already in Luke chapter 9, and now in chapter 18, getting close to Jerusalem. And he had just told his disciples again. He had just told them before this gospel reading. And then it says they were entering into Jericho. He knew what was before him. He knew the suffering and agony he was going to have to go through. And he knew that whether or not he healed one more person wasn't going to make a bit of difference. That the great battle that had to be fought and won for us was the battle he was going to engage in on that cross. And yet, with that on his heart and mind, he's walking through into Jericho, and there's this blind man. And the blind man hears someone coming. He hears this crowd passing by. He says, what's going on? And they say, well, it's Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. He's coming by. Jesus. And so he shouts. He says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people, they say, "You know, would you just be quiet? Don't make a fool of yourself. Jesus has important things he has to do. He's on his way to Jerusalem. Please be quiet." Instead, what does he do? I find it interesting that in the Greek, there's a different word for how he cries the second time. The first time he shouts, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then when he's told to be quiet, "Don't make a fool of yourself," the word that's used in Greek for the second time he cries out is one that's more like our word for screaming. He screams. And it said that this word is even used for animals when they're screeching. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus didn't stop the first time. But he stopped. It says Jesus stopped. I find it interesting too that in the Greek, this word for Jesus stopped is an aorist participle. It's a passive aorist participle, which means that Jesus was stopped. He was passive in this. He was brought to stand still. And he says, what is this? And then Jesus commands that this man be brought to him. There you have another passive. It's passive in the Greek. This blind man needed to be brought to Jesus. He did what he could. He could scream out. He could say, Lord, have mercy on me. But it wasn't until Jesus could bring that man here. He was blind. He couldn't walk to Jesus. He needed help. So they brought him. He was passive. He was brought to Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, what? I mean, Jesus knew he was blind. Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, that I may receive my sight. Your faith has made you well. What really stands out in this passage is the passionate, persistent faith of this blind man. And again, the church teaches us that we are all this blind man. We're all like him. And without Christ, we are without hope and without God in this world. Jesus passes by. In this lifetime, we have opportunities when Jesus is passing by. And what do we do with those opportunities? He's here in worship, in the divine liturgy. He offers himself to us. In wherever we are, we're at home, we can pray. Lord, have mercy on me. Or do we let him pass by? The blind beggar screamed out to him, Lord, have mercy on me. You know, when I was reading this, and then I knew that we were going to have we're going to be commemorating the Fool for Christ, Ksenia, the Fool for Christ. I don't know if you've read any stories of Fools for Christ. They can be really strange people and socially inept. This guy reminded me of that. The people were kind of saying, oh, you blind man, you're always, you know, always doing something. You're hollering, screaming, begging for alms. My. Unless we're like the Fool for Christ's sake, nothing is going to get in my way. I want Jesus. Please, Jesus. Have mercy on me. That is the kind of faith that the Lord is looking for. That's the kind of faith he's looking for. In this same chapter, Luke 18, it started with the parable which Jesus told of the widow. Remember that widow who was persistent? She had this unrighteous judge who would not give her justice. But she pestered him. Again and again she went back to him. Please, you owe me justice. The whole point, and then finally he gave it to her. And Jesus said, and you, when you ask for God's mercy and his love and grace,
Don't just give up. You know, people can say, oh, how often are you going to go to Jesus? You're still struggling with this. How often are you going to ask for help with this? How often are you going to say, Lord, my children, my grandchildren, me, my mom, my dad, my loved ones, when are you going to help? When are you going to bring healing? And people mock us and say, oh. And Jesus said, this persistent widow was given finally what she needed. And you, God loves you. And He will give you what you ask for. And it says in that text, and He'll do it quickly. Now that's where I kind of wonder, quickly. But you know, with the Lord, a day is as a thousand years is in a day. The point is, God is going to give those things to us. He's going to do it. And then that parable ends with these words, where Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes again, will He find faith on the earth? Will He find faith on the earth? What kind of faith do we have? Oh, I want to know. I've asked three times, Lord. I've asked twice. I even cried when I asked You. Last week I cried. I said, please, Lord. Now it's been a month. I give up. How often? You know, or we may not say that, but that's what we do. We give up. No. No. God is looking for a faith. Jesus wants us to be in His presence. Come to Me. Come to Me. So, when the blind man came near, Jesus, what do You want me to do for you? When you cry out to Him for mercy, do you hear Jesus say, come near? Do you hear Him? He is. When you cry to Him for mercy, or do you think He ignores you? You can't believe. Jesus says, come near. And when you come near, He says, what can I do for you? For you and for me, no different from that blind man. When I thought of this, I thought, I guess I just need to tell myself this again and again. When I go to the Lord and say, have mercy, I need to be like that blind man and hear Him. He says, come here. Come here, Steve. Come here, Deacon Jeff. Come here. Judy, whoever we are, come near. Come near. What can I do for you? When we come, you know, we have the Eucharist. What is it that the priest says? He's really speaking for Jesus when he says this. With a fear of God, with faith and love, come near. And when you come near to Jesus, what is He going to do? He wants to give you His own body and blood. He wants to feed you. He wants to love you. You know, I also thought of this other story that happened in the Scriptures. Do you remember in John chapter 8, there's the story of the woman who is caught in adultery. It says she was caught in the very act. I read that again this week. She was caught in the very act of adultery. And these people, they took her and they brought her to Jesus. They brought her near to Jesus. They brought her real near to Jesus. What did Jesus do? He said, woman, neither do I condemn thee. I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. You know, there's no safer place to be than near to Jesus. You say, well, I'm a sinner. The Apostle Paul is the worst. Come on. He said it. I am the worst of sinners. And when Jesus came near to him and he near to Jesus, something happened.
He went blind first, and then he received his sight. Jesus, even when he judges us, does not condemn us. God's punishment is never for condemnation, it's always for healing. So it's all right. It's all right to ask God sometimes, judge me, Lord, if I need it. And if my children or grandchildren, if my loved ones, if they need it, just judge them a little bit, Lord. Wake them up. But bring them near to you. Bring them near to you. In Christ is life and light. May he open our blind eyes. And may we, like the blind man, cry out to him in a passionate, living faith that says, Lord, have mercy on me. And when you cry that, what is he going to do? He's going to have mercy on you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.